Be seated. Well, tonight, as I mentioned earlier this morning, we do have a special guest here with us that was coming, and that is solicitor Don Moore, and I like to call him Brother Don Moore. And he has been a blessing to me. I've met him just this probably the third time I've been able to talk with him, but each time Brother Moore encourages me. He's got the joy of the Lord, and he's just got a tender heart, I can tell. And he is representing the Gideon's ministry, a ministry that I have great respect for, and what they're doing, and the Bibles that are being distributed and have been distributed all over the world. I'm encouraged every time I go to a hotel room, wherever it be in the United States, and even in some foreign countries where you open the drawer and there's a Gideon's Bible, where somebody can open up the Word of God and read and be saved as they put their faith in that truth. And so thankful for that. And so what I'm going to do is ask Brother Moore. I've asked him to come. He's going to share some things about the Gideon ministry. But I also have asked him to share his testimony of coming to know Christ. He shared it with me a couple weeks ago, and it just really spoke to my heart. I thought it was very powerful, the way God dealt with him. And I just ask you to be sensitive and tender to it. Let it encourage you. Let it speak to you. And it just goes to show you the Lord saves in all different ways. It's one way through Jesus Christ, but He in different ways, and what I mean by channels. Different people, different services, different ministries. No one has a cookie-cutter story necessarily. And I'm thankful that everybody can give a testimony of Jesus saving them. And that's what I'd like you to do, Brother Moore. You come on up now and share your heart with us and the ministry the Lord has allowed you to be a part of. Thank you, Brother Moore. Appreciate it.
God bless you.
You too, sir.
How could God love me? I'm a thief. I'm a drug addict, and I was trying to steal your camera. Those are the words that Gideon Rick McKay heard when he was out on the streets in Italy. You see, he's from Indiana, and he and a group of men from different countries had gone to Italy to give out Bibles. And they were doing that in hotels. They were doing that in hospitals. They were doing that in military installments. But another place to do it's just standing out on the street. So there's Rick out there on the street in Italy. And if you're going to Italy, you're going to take your camera. And younger people, this is a thing that was used to take pictures, but yeah, that's this was a few years back. So he's got that camera half in his pocket and half out of his pocket, and that street thief says, "I'm going to steal that fella's camera." So as he's approaching Rick, Rick turns and hands him a Bible. And the street thief says, "Who are you, and what's this book?" Now, if you're spirit-filled, if you're born again, if you've flown clear over to Italy to pass out Bibles and tell people about Jesus, this is your opportunity, so take it. And Rick did. So Rick started talking to him about God. He said, there's a plan of salvation in the back. We know it basically is the Roman road. And so he said, and these days you start with there is a God. You know, if you can get past those first words in the Bible, in the beginning, God, the rest kind of falls in place.
Right.
But there he is talking to this fellow on the street, and he's talking to him about sin and how God loves us, but sin separates us. And then he gets to the verse we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Yeah.
And that's when the street thief said, "Well, how could God love me? I'm a drug addict. I'm a thief. I was trying to take your camera." And Rick said, whoa, you didn't hear me there. I didn't say if you sin real bad or if you have, I've got my sins. You've got your sin. We sin. That's the nature. But Jesus died for our sins. And right there on that street, he led that street thief to a salvation experience. They hugged and said, "I'll see you in heaven." And God does have a sense of humor. That street thief's name, Emmanuel. God with us.
Amen.
So how did this organization start, this Gideon ministry that we've heard so much about? We're going back to the 1890s now. There aren't even cars out on the road. There aren't motels, because a motel is a motor hotel. This is a hotel, and it's some guys in Wisconsin, and there's one room, and there's two beds, and two traveling businessmen said, "Well, we don't care. We just want a place to sleep." So, all right, got a room for you. So Samuel Hill and John Nicholson go in there, and Samuel Hill opens up the Bible and starts reading it. And John Nicholson says, "Well, I see you're a Christian." And mothers, listen to this now. Samuel Hill said, listen, my mother told me, read my Bible every day and pray every day, and I do. And so there you go. There's the basis, the beginning of the Gideon ministry. So John says, well, I'm a Christian too. Wouldn't it be neat if there was a Bible up there on that front desk in this hotel, and then if a person wanted one, there'd be one. Well, there's a Tri-County Ministerial Association in Wisconsin, and they hear about this and said, you boys just aren't thinking big enough. We're going to take up a collection at our church. We'll give you the money. You get the Bibles printed and get them out there, because you're going to these hotels. You're going to these places, and it just works. So we are a business and professional men's organization, and our wives, because if you've been in a hospital and if you've seen nurses with these white testaments, our wives in the auxiliary gave those white testaments. But we came together for this purpose, and sometime around 1920, the first 1 million Bibles was given out. And that's pretty good, but here's how God is in this. Numbers kind of overwhelm audiences, and they certainly overwhelm me. The first billion, that's with a B, was strangely right around the 9/11 2001 time. That was that's a 1,000 million Bibles, and so it took 98 years to give out 98 billion. Last year, 2014, the second billion. So 98 years for the first billion. 14. It's not dropping off, it's taking off. Why? Because my word is going to every kindred, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, and we're seeing it. Look at it. Look at these flags up here in these countries. The Gideon organization is in over 200 countries. And I couldn't name you 200 countries. 90 languages. I've been to college. I think I'm an educated man, but I couldn't name you 10 languages. But you check. Wycliffe Bible Translator says in the next 15 years, all languages will be translated. Now, there's scripture that says, my word's going to every nation, every kindred. You ask the pastor about that one. So that's where we are. We are in strange and hard times. We have our and men, if you have a heart for the Gideon ministry, we meet over at the Jefferson House restaurant. 7 o'clock every Saturday morning, we're there. We read scripture, we pray, and we go on because everybody's got a life. We got to go. But that's what we do every Saturday morning. So I would ask if you have an interest, show up and just come pray with us. But we have a monthly meeting also. And in Kenya, Africa, there was a Kenya African, and his monthly meeting, he apologized to the people in his camp, the Gideon camp there, and said, I only gave out 1,556 scriptures last month. I can only get two boxes on my bicycle at a time. So we look around at what we have, and God has not only blessed us, He has spoiled us. Because I cannot, and the pastor here, having been in Africa, I've got some numbers I could throw out for the Africa West, 62 million Bibles, Africa Central, 67 million, and Africa South, 107 million, But there's poverty there that we just don't comprehend, don't know. Here's some kids in Colombia, South America, and they're all smiling and they're all waving a Bible. And the caption here is, at the end of 2 weeks, the 23 men, along with the local Gideons and auxiliary, had distributed 1.1 million Bibles. That's physically impossible. I don't know how it, but God does it. I personally had the ability, the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic, and we gave out 150,000 Bibles in about 5 days, and it was about all I could do, and that was 10 years ago, and I don't think I could do that now. But we had a blessed time. We were in schools. We were in prisons. We were in military places. But the one instance that hurt me the most, we were in a school. We were having a great time. We were giving out Bibles, and we ran out. And here's this beautiful little girl with her hands out. Por favor, señor, una Biblia. And I didn't have one. And she's crying, and I'm crying. And I'm telling you, folks, that'll stick with you. That we have this. And Pastor knows these numbers. Here's a man, and the The caption says, if your daily income were $3.92, that's daily income, where $3.92 is a picture of a bowl of rice and a Bible, which would you choose? Well, you better choose the bowl of rice or you'll die. They don't have the money to buy the Bibles. I could tune in my car radio right now and pick up two Atlanta stations, that 105.1 K-Love that's come in and 104.7 and a couple out of Athens. And if we get up on a hillside, you can pick up a couple from South Carolina. That's not like that in the rest of the world. There is a need, a great need. One of our Gideons is over in Madison County, and he went to Tanzania, and Simon Kabutu was the guy he was with as they were giving out Bibles in Tanzania. And Simon Kabutu had found the buildings to store the Bibles, had gotten the vehicles to move the Bibles back and forth, had the permission from places to go give the Bibles. And while they were doing all this, Larry from Madison County said, Simon, I haven't heard you speak of a wife or a girlfriend. Do you have a girlfriend? He says, yes, Larry, I do. And you'll probably think this is kind of foolish, but this is the way we do things in our country. And that is that we pay for a dowry, and the dowry to marry the girl that I want to marry is 10 cows. And Larry says, well, how you doing with that? And he says, well, I've got 8, only need 2 more. Larry reaches for his pocket, and Simon Kabutu says, no, don't do that. If you gave me that money in my service to my God, wouldn't cost me anything. I don't understand that. I'm an American. I'm spoiled rotten. I got a heated house, full refrigerator, drive here in my heated and air-conditioned car, and to give and the need. Well, we just don't have it here. I've got a picture. This is the cross of Jesus Christ in an Iraq building. That was Saddam Hussein's building at one time. It says, Jesus is the light of the world in Arabic. Glory to God. My word will go to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. And finally, Franklin Graham, he in China. You know, we know that there in this part of the country in China, there's oppression of the house churches. But they bring him in, and he says, I preach to an overflow crowd at the Hallelujah Church, which seats 8,000 people. And when I gave an invitation, hundreds stood to make public decisions for Christ. I'm a guy of the 70s. It was those evil, evil Russians, those godless Russians. And we're God's people. Certainly we are. And now, in Moscow, Gideons can go into schools and give out Bibles and these red testaments that we used to be able to go into schools and give out, we no longer can because the courts say in the United States of America, this may be damaging to some child. Where are we, folks? Where are we? But you know, there is the great commandment, and that is Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The second, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So as you give, know that, you know, I could go on for an hour. Just people who have gone to a hotel, I'm going to kill myself. And they never even picked up the Bible. They just saw it. Said, oh no, I can't do this. People who have gone to a hotel with somebody that's not their wife or somebody that's not their husband just seen the Bible. That's the power of this book. And, ooh, I need to get out of here. We had a meeting here in Commerce, and our speaker was a beautiful young lady. And she said, you know, I made some mistakes in life. Thought I was in love with this boy. I became pregnant. He took off, and there I was. What was I going to do? So I went to Helen, Georgia, to make a decision. What was I going to keep that baby or not? And there was a Gideon Bible in that hotel. And she pulled out a picture of this beautiful 6-year-old girl. That's her daughter. And the daughter didn't come with her that evening, but said, thank you for my daughter, because that Bible in that hotel made that difference in our lives. So there is a home office for the Gideons. It's in Nashville. But none of the money you give goes to anybody's salary, to any light bill, to any property tax. All of that's paid for by the Gideons with our dues. So when you give 100%, not 90%, 100% of the money goes to the purchase and placement of Bibles around the world. And thank you for supporting the Gideons, because without that, we'd be talking about hundreds, not billions with a B. Now, the pastor said I would have the opportunity to tell you about me. And, you know, I was raised in the church. That's just what we did. My mom and my dad made sure that we went to church. And we were living in New Orleans, and if you've ridden the St. Charles Avenue trolley, you've gone along Audubon Park, the zoo, and by Tulane University, and by St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church. And I was there as probably a 10-year-old. I was baptized at St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church by G. Avery Lee. And Pastor Lee was quoted in Time magazine. He said, "I baptized Newt Gingrich," because Newt had gone to Loyola or Tulane, one of those. He said, "I baptized Newt Gingrich. I just didn't hold him under long enough." He baptized me. He didn't hold me under long enough. In high school, I didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't cuss, didn't hang around with people who did. But, oh my, when I went off to school to be just as stupid as I could be. But then I met my wife, my wonderful wife. We've been married over 40 years. And we came to Commerce and started a family. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was on the administrative board. Well, I was not saved. I knew all about Jesus. I mean, on Sunday, usher, sure, I can usher. Do the morning prayer. I'll do the morning prayer and the evening prayer, too. I knew all the words. Been to a couple of conferences, but it just never got from my head to my heart. So here, I'm in Commerce, 42 years old, watching Trinity Broadcast, TBN, and I'm alone in my room. And D. James Kennedy, a good, faithful Presbyterian preacher who's now in heaven. But if you catch a D. James Kennedy sermon, watch it, because he's so great about the history of America. And if you're talking about where America is, he was good. But he got through with, I couldn't tell you what he preached, but he got through and stuck his hand out. That finger came right out of that TV set. "What about you?" And I'm looking around, well, that would be me. I'm the only one in this room. And we'd been studying at the church the disciple program and the disciple ministry. I said, "God, I've got this great wife. I've got these great kids. I've got this great job. I love this the area we live in. We are so blessed to be here in where we are. Because if you've been to other parts of the world and even other parts of the country, it just isn't like this." I said, "God, there's just something missing in my heart. And God, I'm sorry. I have mocked you. I have cursed you. And all you've ever done is bless me." And I said, you never make a deal with God. But I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to read the Bible and you show me something. And if we have time another time, I'll tell you. God, I opened up and it's Jacob and Esau, and they're putting that ribbon on one of them's ankle. And all through my life, the joke of our house, if any joke was being told, someone would say, "Are you pulling my leg? Are you pulling my leg? Are you pulling my leg?" was just the thing. And I, of every scripture, every story, Bible story I could have opened up, there it was. I was having breakfast with the Creator of heaven and earth. And we were just having a wonderful time. And he was pulling my leg. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I had alcohol, I had hate, I had anger, and that stuff is gone. I've got joy and peace, and I'm just as concerned as everybody is here about what's going on in the U.S., but I have joy and peace. You cannot put a price tag on that. I go to bed at night, and if something's kind of bugging me, I just start, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. This." And about the fifth time, I'm asleep. I'm in God's hands. So look at your driver's license. Everybody knows when you were born. That was 1952 for me. But it was November 1994 when I was born again. And it's that John 3. That's what it's all about. Nicodemus, what must I do? And he says, if you're not born again, you won't even see heaven. And if you're not born again, you won't enter heaven. So if you haven't been born again, just now is the time, folks. Amen. It's the joy and the peace when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Moore.